I'd like to invite our Vietnam team up. If our people who went to Vietnam would come on up, they've all got their orange shirts on. I'm orange. Well, that's so the vertigo threw my color off too now. So green shirts. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got you. We got you. All right, here they come. So I gave them all like a threat, like they get like 1 minute, okay? They get 1 minute, all right? And then, so I'm going to hand them the mic when I ask them questions, so we all know the rules here, right? I know you could talk for hours. You really do want to get to hang with these people. They can tell you some cool stories. It is awesome. So we got a couple of slides. I'm going to start with Henry first here. So Henry, here's one. The guy's in one of the brown wheelchairs. What's this story? Who took this and who's this? What's going on here?
Okay, this gentleman had no legs, so we had to carry him out of the car. And then you could tell his excitement that he was able to move with wheels. But the part that really got me is the glasses. We have a little section that we're giving people glasses to show them how to see far or to see close. And he got his glasses, so he's rolling around showing everybody his glasses that, you know, not only did we get him a set of wheels that he can move, he can now see. And then one of the things I noticed that you think you're doing good sometimes, you're giving people glasses. I watched the lady still wearing her reading glasses come down about fall down the stairs because she was still wearing her glasses. So they had to tell her, you can't wear them when you're walking, but you can wear them when you're reading. So.
Tell us the story here, Henry. Got brown chairs. What's the story on these?
Yeah, we had the Free Wheelchair Ministries wouldn't let us bring their chairs in because it didn't meet the system that they have going over there. So we found some chairs that are being made in Vietnam. They're awesome. They can be collapsed so they can get into small homes. And we really went over them well, comparing them to the ones we have. They're $25 cheaper. They're a better chair, and they're made in Vietnam. And that the police loved that. They loved that we were buying from that city, and helping their own people. So that's probably the direction we're going to go.
Yeah, so we've been paying $80 per chair, now $50 a chair. So instead of buying two, we're going to be able to buy three for every two that we were going to buy. So now I'll give that mic over to Jenny. So Jenny, looks like you're shooting this person with a laser. What's going on there?
Well, we had this machine that could test their eyes, and we had 2,000 pair of glasses that were labeled with the prescription on them. And so when we would look in there and see what prescription they needed, then we had them all sorted and lined up. We could just hand them. And when you handed them the glasses, they would just... their faces would explode, with happiness that they could finally see. And we had a close up and we had far away. And so it was amazing to see their faces. There was no language barrier there.
Yeah. So just one quick thing before we move on. We're going to be collecting glasses. We'll have some designated times this year. If you've got old glasses, save them, and then we'll have a couple times during this year, have a box, bring them in. They're going to be able to distribute them with this piece of equipment. It's really, really incredible. So, Bob, you wanted to talk about, before we switch, just hold on. Bob, want to talk about going into Cambodia?
We went into Cambodia this year for the first time. Now, you got to realize, let me kind of set this up. Pastor Dave gave me a minute. He says, I don't know if I can do this in a minute.
Yeah, but you can. Yeah, you can, Bob.
You got to understand, we're on a bus. There's 20 people, 10 Americans and 10 Vietnamese. The Vietnamese have never been out of their country. So we heard that we had to get visas and passports. So the Vietnamese kids got their passports to go into Cambodia. He said, we'll get the visas when we get to the border. So we're on the bus. We get up to the border. The president of the city where we were going across got on the bus. And so as we come up to the border, there's buses lined up, trucks for about a mile. All the doors are open. The suitcases are out on the ground. The people are searching it with dogs. And we pull up, and the president goes like this. The guard goes like this. We pulled up to the next one. The guard did the same thing. He waves. We went right on through the border, never stopped, never searched, nothing. Coming back, the same thing. We pull up. The president's on the bus with us. He goes like this. The guard goes like this. We stopped. The guy goes like this. I said, oh, this is it. We're out. Guard. he says, pull around to the back and go out that gate. So we pulled around the back of the shack, went out the gate, back into Vietnam, went to the president's house, had lunch, went back on our way. Never stopped, never Man. Got boarded, Beautiful. Never yeah. got searched. God is a miracle worker.
Yeah, yeah. Really, he can talk a long time in that story. Bob's and Denny call it the parting of the Red Sea, but I told him the Red Sea wasn't in Cambodia, but they got through in a miraculous way. So, Leslie, what's going on here?
We are, Rhonda Hayes and I are building Gen 1 chairs, which are these white ones back here behind us. So we were Team Gen 1. We were really the only ones, only Americans building the old chairs.
Okay, and so you're like one of the faster teams. You're faster than Henry and Mike, because I know they're always trying.
We were the only team, so we were the fastest team.
Oh, you're the fastest team. Roughly, how long does it take to put one together?
2 or 3 minutes.
2 or 3 minutes.
And
so.
Rhonda likes to let the Vietnamese Red Cross workers help us.
Yeah.
So, it kind of slows up our process a little bit, but they really enjoy helping.
They
do it.
Enjoy it, yeah. And then the next picture, so after you get them, what happens? What's the distribution look like?
This is our distribution in Cambodia. They're an odd mix of government pomp and circumstance and a lot of really happy people. So there's a lot of, in this case, there was a lot of Cambodian being spoken, a lot of Vietnamese being spoken. Vu will get up and talk, and then they'll get up, the pastors will get up and demonstrate how to put the wheelchairs safely on the scooters, because everybody has a scooter, and how not to put the wheelchair on the scooter, and how to properly tie it down, and just how to use them, basically.
So, but the cool thing is, this is where the preaching takes place.
Yes.
So each of the team members gets a chance. They get a chance to share in English, and then when they were in Cambodia, how to get, I guess, from to Vietnamese to Cambodian, so I don't know, we don't know what came out, but anyway, you get a chance to preach, and this is where the preaching's done. And definitely in Vietnam, which is a communist country, this is so unheard of. But because of the wheelchairs, our team is getting to preach the gospel. So it's really awesome. And then Mike, so here's one more. Mike's having so much fun. Mike, so Mike and Henry are the awesome Gen 2 team. But Mike, you got people sitting here, and they're thinking, man, you know, I'd like to go to Vietnam. What would you say to people thinking about going to Vietnam?
I would say, put away your negative preconceptions.
Okay.
You hear about the food, you worry about getting sick, whatever. You know, Zig Ziglar used to call all those types of fears, they call them loser's limps. Ooh. You don't get done in your life what needs to get done in your life because you're afraid to take the step. Take the step of faith, go. And your life, not just the people that you're going to change people's lives forever, but you're also going to change your own life forever, because you're going to see things that you wouldn't otherwise see. Equality for all is, when it's mandated by the government,
not
is
happening.
Equally poor everybody.
Yeah.
You don't want it. But anyway, we won't get too political.
But one last slide. Mike said, don't worry about the food. What is that?
So, here again, I want to let you know, at every
Ooh.
Meal, there's all kinds of things you
yeah.
can eat. At this particular meal, I have never in my life heard of this.
Oh,
this is called black chicken.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't make it black. It's born black. If you look at the inside, you cut that meat, the meat on the inside is black. Just like we've got our white and black brothers and sisters, we have
black chicken. So, Mike,
I don't
did you
get
eat it.
It?
Did you eat it?
I did eat it.
All right.
Guess what it tasted like?
Chicken.
And chicken.
And they also do get the delicacy of rat. So it's really some cool food you get to eat.
And you
so.
Know what rat tastes like?
Chicken.
Chicken.
All right. So let them know you appreciate these folks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's how you do it. Real quick, we get to here. But really, you ought to talk to them. Do lunch or dinner with these folks. Just such great, great stories, man. Last year's Easter offering, about $53,000 came in on Easter. We bought almost 700 chairs. They got to distribute about 400 while they were there. The other 300, the team distributes later on their own. So we're now... about 4,000, I think it's 4,400 chairs we have sent to Vietnam because of your Easter offering. So that is really, really exciting. And it is truly making a difference. The pastors that we're working with there are being recognized, being given positions of authority and allowed to travel, which has been limited, and the gospel is going out. So really, really exciting. And let's be praying about this year's Easter offering. And this year we're expanding our mission program. So instead of the entire offering going for the free wheelchairs, which this is called the Gen 1, the traditional chair, but we're moving away from that. We'll be buying them now in Vietnam. They'll be the brown metal ones. But you can purchase one of these for $50. $50. So come on, everybody ought to be buying more than one. $50. $50. You change a person's life. They cannot walk, now they can get around. But we'll also be doing the clean water filters. We're starting a new, working with a new missionary, and we are going to, he's putting a little video together. We get to meet him next week. His name is Richie. His last name is hard to pronounce. I just call him Richie B. But Chip and Roxanne and I will be going down in June to visit with him with another Vineyard church. We're going to be tying in. But we will be delivering clean water filters along the Amazon, and we'll be taking a team next year. But this year for our Easter offering, you can either purchase a $50 wheelchair. The water conditioners are $195. Same kind of thing. The people along the Amazon do not have clean water. Over a million people, they're drinking from the Amazon. Their children are getting sick and dying because they don't understand this. There's no electricity. And the gospel is being preached. They're building churches as a result of giving out the clean water filters. So we're going to start working with them and be purchasing with our Easter offering this year either clean water, a bunch of clean water filters, and chairs. So when you do the offering, you can mark on the envelope, I would like to buy one chair, I'd like to buy 10 chairs, I'd like to buy so many water filters. You can mark it on the back of the envelope. The envelope's actually in the bulletin. It'll be in this week, next week, and then obviously on Easter morning. But wow, come on, folks, let's do it. Let's do this. This is the one time where I have no problem telling you, you ought to be sacrificial in your giving. We're giving it all away, the entire Easter offering, every penny of it. Sacrifice, man, come on, this is such a good thing. You get to change people's lives, and it's done in Jesus' name. This is not just humanitarian. This is humanitarian gospel. In the name of Jesus, we lay hands on these people. We pray over them. We talk to them about God, and the follow-up continues to go on. And literally, it is literally changing the country of Vietnam, changing that country. The communism is going to fall. I promise you, it will fall. But my hope and prayer is it falls without violence, that falls because Christianity grows and takes over. Wouldn't that be an awesome story? That's one of those bucket lists I have, to see that we get to be a part of a country being set free from communism because of the gospel, because of the chairs. Man, that's awesome. All right, so be in prayer about that. Buy a water filter, $195. Now we can buy chairs, $50. And who knows, when we get down there, we'll be looking around. Maybe we can get those water filters cheaper. We're all about getting the best bang for our buck. But right now, they're making them down there with all the stuff, and that's what it's costing. So that's what we'll be doing with that, all right? So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about Easter and the water baptisms coming up. I'm going to give you a real short sermon here. But I had another sermon that I had planned a few weeks back to talk about, but really felt something in my heart that I need to take some time this morning and talk to you about water baptism. We are baptizing people on Easter. But I know, sitting right here, I know there are a bunch of you that have never been water baptized. And I just want to take some time this morning and give you four reasons, real quickly, four reasons why you should get baptized. Why you should get baptized, and what happens when you get baptized. And maybe clear up some misunderstandings here, because it's a significant event in every person's life, and you really need to get this straight. So I'm going to give you four reasons, real quick. First reason, why should you get baptized? Because in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, we find Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus was baptized. If there's no other reason, this is good enough. Jesus goes to get baptized. Verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized. John tried to prevent him. I have need to be baptized by you. You're coming to me. Jesus said, let it be, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. If there's any reason why you ought to be baptized, this is it. Jesus knew no sin, never sinned in his life, never did anything wrong, had no sin within him. He was perfect. He did not need to be baptized. Why was he baptized? He said, let it be so to fulfill all righteousness. He was being an example to us. He got baptized as a man. John the Baptist going, you don't need this. Don't worry about it, John. He said, just baptize me. And he got baptized. Number one reason why you should get baptized, Jesus did. Second reason why you ought to get baptized, because Jesus said his followers need to believe and be baptized. This is a command of Jesus. Mark 16:16. This is a summary. He didn't just say it at the end of Mark. He also said it at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. But Mark 16:16. Back up just one verse. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them. Jesus told this to the disciples. He said it again in the Gospel of Matthew. Go into all the world, teach them the things I've told you, baptize them. Jesus said, get baptized. This is the second reason why we ought to be water baptized, because if you say, I am a Christian, Jesus is my Lord. Don't use that word much today because Lord is sort of archaic. I like to use the word boss. Probably not politically correct, but Jesus is the boss. And if he's the boss, aren't you supposed to do what the boss says? If the boss says this is what you do, you don't say, no, I don't think so. Well, some Americans do, but and then they get fired and don't understand why, but the bottom line is he's the boss. And if the boss says do this, then we should do this. Second reason why you should get baptized, Jesus said his followers should get baptized. And if you notice in that passage, it says he who believes and is baptized. The sequence, believes and is baptized. So what that means is we refer to that as believer's baptism. And the word baptism means submerged. So infant sprinkling is not believer's baptism. This confuses a lot of people because they say, well, I got baptized when I was an infant. Well, mom and dad sprinkled you, but you didn't believe, you didn't even know you existed. You have to believe and be baptized. Believer's baptism means you come to a place in your life and you say, I am going to follow Jesus. He is my Lord. I recognize his death for me. I accept him. That's believing. It should be followed with water baptism. So being baptized as an infant, no, that's sprinkling. It isn't baptism, and it's not believer's baptism. Even young children, it's not clear in the scriptures as to what age, you know, a person should be baptized. We like to say you ought to wait till a child comes of age. And there's an example of Jesus when he was younger. It says when he was 12, a little story that it kind of points out. It says when he was 12 is when he was left in Jerusalem. Mom and dad find him and they say, why'd you do this? Jesus said, don't you realize I'm supposed to be busy about my father's work? What was that story there for? I think it's trying to tell us, look, at age 12, you start coming of age. And so we recommend that you ought to wait. Children ought to wait at least till they're 12. But if you were sprinkled as a child, that is not walking in obedience to Jesus. The second reason why you ought to get baptized, Jesus said so. Third reason, if you miss this, I can't help you. That's all I got to say. Third reason is in the book of Acts, the early church put a very high priority on water baptism. It was not optional. Somehow, throughout the ages, water baptism has become optional. I'll get saved, and if I feel like it, I'll get baptized. If I don't feel like it, I'm not ready, I'm afraid of water, I don't want to do it publicly, 100 different reasons. You don't find that in the book of Acts. Actually, six times in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, you will find the story where the people got saved and baptized same day. Six times. That ought to be some kind of message. For instance, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching. People get convicted, they turn their hearts to God, and it says here, Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 baptisms. Peter's preaching, they get saved, they baptized them. They didn't have baptismal robes, they didn't even get to a class, they didn't fully understand. They got baptized. Peter said, let's do it. 3,000. Think how long that took. Acts chapter 2. You go into Acts chapter 8. Philip is preaching up in the northern part of Israel, Samaria. Great revival is taking place. Chapter 8, it says, and many believed and were baptized. Then Philip gets called to go south by the Holy Spirit to Gaza, and he ends up witnessing just this one guy, the Ethiopian eunuch, in Acts chapter 8. And the eunuch's in this caravan. Philip goes up and witnesses to him, shares the faith with him. The man becomes a Christian, and he says to Philip, I want to get baptized. Stop the caravan. Let's do it right now. You read that story, you have to wonder, why would he say he wants to get baptized right now unless Philip was talking to him about you ought to believe and be baptized? Philip baptizes in Samaria. Philip baptizes down in the Gaza Strip. That's Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching to Cornelius, a Gentile, and the Holy Spirit falls. They all get filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter kind of freaks out. Oh my gosh, he says, this is so unusual. You guys need to get baptized right away. They baptize them right away. Peter had this concept. You believe and you get baptized. Acts chapter 16. Paul's in the city of Philippi. It says he goes, preaches the gospel. A lady named Lydia, she gets converted. Her whole household gets converted. It says, and Paul baptized her that day. Then a riot breaks out in the city of Philippi. Same chapter, Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas get arrested. They get beat up. They get thrown in prison. Paul was preaching about this a couple weeks back. It's midnight. They're singing hymns and psalms. An earthquake happens. Doors break open. Nobody leaves. Jailer is freaked out. Comes running in, kneels down, says to Paul and Silas, whoa, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas preach the gospel to him. The man takes them to his home. It says he bandages them up because they're beat up. So they had open wounds. You have to figure, it says it was midnight when this happened. So he takes them home, feeds them, bandages them up. And it says, and the jailer and his household were all baptized that very night. Actually, that morning, probably 2 a.m. in the morning. How'd they do that? They didn't have baptism robes. They didn't have a baptistry. They're in a foreign city. Where'd they go? You know, I was looking up baptism the other day. There's different places people get baptized. Hello. Hello, look at this. Cool. Looking up pictures of people getting baptized. I saw a guy in a third world country baptizing people in 50-gallon drums. 50-gallon drums. People climbing in. I'm thinking, oh, man. Wow. Six times in the book of Acts, believe and be baptized. Anybody see a pattern there? Just curious. Anybody see a pattern there? You don't have to even be a theologian. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to know Greek. You just have to be able to read English, and you read six times. Whoa, the early church put a big priority on this. This was not something, think about it maybe sometime in the next couple of years if you want to. If you don't want to offend anybody. No, you don't find that at all. Third reason, the early church put a high priority on it. Fourth reason, I'm going to finish up here. This is the big one. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read this to you because this is really important. Romans chapter 6. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. These are Christians. Paul says he's talking about grace, that we're under grace in chapter 5. So he gets into chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer, no, obviously not. But here's what he says. Certainly not. And then he asks this question. How can you do that anyway? How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or don't you know that as many of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Don't you realize this? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. What's the fourth reason why we ought to get baptized? The fourth reason is because something happens when we get baptized. Something really, it's not just symbolic. You will notice he said you died with Christ in that baptism. You were buried with him. He didn't say you symbolically died. He didn't say, he even said it in the book of Colossians. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He didn't say you're partially dead, you partially died. He didn't say you kind of died. Or like in the movie Princess Bride, he didn't say you're mostly dead. He said you're dead. You died. Is that literal or is that like a story? I think something happens when we get water baptized. I know something happens. Paul says something happens. Even if we don't understand what happens, it happens anyway. As a matter of fact, that's why he's writing that. He's saying to the Romans Christians, don't you realize what happened when you got baptized? And obviously they didn't, or he wouldn't be asking that, which is not uncommon. Many of us got baptized as adults and kind of knew what was going on, but didn't really. And sometimes that confuses people and they think, well, since I didn't know what was going on, I ought to get baptized again. No, you don't need to get baptized again. Paul didn't say they needed to get baptized again. What did he say? He said, you ought to realize what happened to you and walk in the newness of life. It happened. Something happened when you got baptized. It really does. Something really happens. I don't fully understand it. I'm just going to accept it. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I think that has something to do with my old ways, my old natures not ruling, that sin doesn't have authority in my life. But, you know, people who say, well, why do I need baptism? That's not going to save me. Well, of course, baptism isn't going to save you. But there must be something there. And if you don't get baptized, you're missing out. You're missing out. Jesus wouldn't say to do things that are worthless. He doesn't make up rules just for fun. There must be something going on. Maybe it's the fact that we died, but the water baptism is burying the old man so he no longer can walk around like a zombie. It's burying it. It's putting it, it's signing on the dotted line. This is it. It's over. This is what happened. I'm a new person. Kind of reminds me of like people who live together before they're married. You know, I've had conversations with lots and lots of people over the years, and the conversation usually goes something like this. Well, piece of paper doesn't make me married. Really? Actually, it does. People don't know that, but it does. It's a contract. This is a civil contract. Well, it doesn't make me married. Well, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is there's something to getting married that's different than living together before you're married. So when you're living together and you're not married, you're kind of married, but you're not. And it's not like God says, well, you can't do that because God has nothing else to do. It's because God wants to bless you and wants you to experience what it's like to be fully committed and make this public statement and enjoy the blessing of marriage. Well, it's the same thing with salvation. If you're saved, if you've given your life to Christ and you're not baptized, you're kind of saved. Oh, well, what does that mean? I don't know. It's like you're kind of married, you're kind of not. It's like you're in between and you're missing something. You're missing something. I'm here to tell you today that water baptism is not optional. But it's not a command to ruin your life. It's not a command to make you do something you don't want to do. This is something God wants so that it seals the decision you made. And if you're wondering, maybe you haven't been baptized, and if you're wondering maybe why things are not working out, is it possible there's some connection here? I would think so. You're missing this opportunity. God honors when you obey him. He honors it. Even if it meant nothing, even if it didn't have the symbolism of dying, even if there wasn't something that supernaturally happened, listen, it's enough to say Jesus got baptized. It's enough to say he commanded the disciples to baptize his followers. It's enough to say the New Testament church took it very seriously to the point of same-day conversion, water baptism. But I like to believe something special happens when you get baptized. As a matter of fact, when you read Jesus' story of the baptism, it says the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit fell on him. People who get water baptized, this is an opportunity. Holy Spirit of God can fill you. You can experience gifts flowing out of you like you've never experienced. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Healings take place. Deliverances, bondages get broken. It's a supernatural event. So, I'm finished. Here's what I have to say. If you have not been baptized, we want to baptize you on Easter. We want to baptize you. I want to be a part of this. Fill that card out. Let us know. We'll get a hold of you. We'll make it happen. We got 2 weeks. But man, do not miss out. This is a supernatural event, and man, it sure makes Easter a lot of fun. Amen? Let's stand up. We'll close in prayer. God, I pray in Jesus' name this morning, Father, you are stirring among us. We are so grateful for what you have done. God, you sent your son Jesus. He died on the cross. His resurrection proves that his death overcame and paid for the penalty of sin, and we get to experience forgiveness through him. We are grateful, God. We are grateful. But God, I pray this morning for any of us this morning who have not been water baptized. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you give the revelation. Open the hearts and minds. Help them to see you have more, God. You have more. God, help us as a church to be a part of that celebration on Easter. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering. Pray in the name of Jesus today by your Holy Spirit. God, touch them. Touch them, God. Awaken within them a life of your Holy Spirit. God, bring healing to the bodies. God, awaken those who are outside of your ways, God. Their hunger for you will become real. Have our prayer team up front here. We're going to close with a song now, and if you'd like some prayer, if there's something God's speaking to you about, changes in your life, things you need to deal with, you need a touch by the Holy Spirit, you need a word spoken to you, this is the time for what we refer to as personal ministry, flow of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge. God might touch you. So if you have need of prayer, we're going to close with this song. You're welcome to come up and get some prayer.
I wanna feel. like a flood, heaven open up. Come, never-ending waves, I am swept away. Holy Spirit, come. Come, fall afresh on me, fall afresh on me. On me, fall afresh on me.
Our service. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.